Morning, Rabbi Sai. So, last week we looked at Parshas Zochor. Hopefully, when we learned Parshas Zochor yesterday, and we heard the verse Minhogim, or Zecher and Zecher, we knew a little bit more about it than we knew the week before. Let's look at Parshas Porah this week. The coming week will be Parshas Porah. And at my bar mitzvah, about 20 years ago, I was not allowed to line Parshas Porah. It was Parshas Porah. I lined the Sedra, but I didn't line Parshas Porah. And the reason why I didn't line Parshas Porah, they said, was the same as Parshas Zochor, that it's a sofek, or there's a machloikes, or there are opinions that in the same way the Parshas Zochor is midoraisa, and therefore you need a godol to be moitzi the tibor, who adin Parshas Porah is doraisa, and you need a godol, a vadai godol, to be moitzi the tibor, and therefore. And therefore, it won't. Therefore, a child who's not got this chesk. Well, he's got a chazaka maybe, but he's not definitely a godel, a physical godel, hevish tesaris. Then we don't let him line. And therefore, there's a minig in many places that a bar mitzvah boy will not line Parshas Zochor. That's for sure. Everywhere, I assume. But there's a similar minig that in Parshas Porah we also don't allow bar mitzvah boy to line. The Vilna Gaon writes, never heard of such a thing. Why should Parshas Porah be Doraisa? The Elie Rabbah writes the same thing. Not the Elie Rabbah, the Mogen Avraham writes the same thing. Why should it be Doraisa? What is Doraisa about Parshas Porah? And I've seen brought down two possible reasons as to why Parshas Porah might be Doraisa. One is that there seems to be an excessive lashonus of Daber. The Parsha of Porah Aduma starts off Vayadaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon, I think. Yeah? So then it says, so you've got Vayadaber Hashem, and then it says Zois Chukas HaTorah Asher Tzivo Hashem Leimor, and then you've got Tzivo Hashem, Vayadaber Hashem, and then Leimor, which is to say over to Klal Yisrael. And then it says Daber El Bnei Yisrael again. We just have Vayidaber Hashem El Bnei, what's it called? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Moshe and Aaron, and he's saying to them Daber El Bnei Yisrael, but he said a double loshon. He said Lemor, and then Daber El Bnei Yisrael. So some want to say that from that loshon, it didn't need to say after having said Lemor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe and Aaron and told them Lemor to say over to Klal Yisrael. Why does it have to repeat then Daber El Bnei Yisrael? So some want to say that from there there's a raya that we should be Daber El Bnei Yisrael about Parshas Porah Aduma, that we should say over Parshas Porah Aduma to the Bnei Yisrael. And therefore you've got a remez there that one should line Parshas Porah Aduma b'tzibur to Klal Yisrael. There's an extra Daber El Bnei Yisrael, which the Chori was not necessary. That's one remez that's brought down. There's another remez that's brought down, and that is that people know that there are sheish zechirois, that there are the six zechirois which are mentioned, they're printed in most Sidurim after davening. And one of them is Parshas Zochor. Zochor eis asher asor lecha amolek, and Chazal Darshan, because it says Zochor, and it says lo yisishkoch, therefore, Chazal Darshan in various ways, that Zochor is bepeh, and lo yisishkoch once a year, or there are different shittas, but we say we take on once a year. You have to do a zochor bepeh. Now there is another of those sheish zechiros that also says it says zochor eis hashetish eis hashekzafto es hashem elokecha bamidbar. Remember how you upset, how you annoyed, how you angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the midbar, and in the end, and there it says zochor al tishkach. So you've got the zochor like in Parshas Zochor. And you've got the Lo Yisishkoch, like in Parshas Zochor. You've got Zochor al Tishkach, right? Remember, and do not forget. Therefore, hypothetically, in the same way that Zochor and Lo Yisishkoch tells me that I have to do a Kriya B'tzibur, and it's a Chiyuv D'oraisa, therefore Zochor al Tishkach is also L'chora a Chiyuv of Kriya Satoria about that you angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar. When did you anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar? What's that one of the Shei Sechira speaking about? It's talking about the Chet Ho'egel. It's talking about the fact that soon after Matan Torah, the Bnei Yisrael were over Avodah Zorah in public. Yeah? So why doesn't the Torah mention it? Why doesn't it say, Zachar al Tishkach, Eis Asher, Avadato, Avodah Zorah, Avadatem, Avodah Zorah, Be'chet Ho'egel? Why doesn't it mention it before? Well, it just says that you annoyed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar. But why doesn't it say, Zachar al Tishkach, if it's speaking about Chet Ho'egel, it should say, Zachar al Tishkach, Chet Ho'egel. It should say it specifically. And the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was chas al kavoidon shel Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was a terrible aveira, and so soon after Matan Torah, to be over Avodah Zorah, it was a terrible thing. It's mentioning kaviyochel kloinom shel Yisrael. It's an insult, it's a criticism of Klal Yisrael, but a very severe criticism of Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Yisrael only wants to mention it beremez. So he says, Chal Tishkov, don't forget, you annoyed, you upset, you angered the Rabbeinu Shalom in the Midbar. And we don't say specifically the Chet. Now, we don't mind saying specifically what Amalek did. We don't mind mentioning Lois Ishkoch. But to mention something that Klal Yisrael did wrong, we're trying to preserve, we're trying to protect the covenant of Klal Yisrael, so we don't say it specifically, and therefore the Rabbi Shem says, Chal Tishka Chesa Sheik Tzavta Shem Elokecha Bamidbar. Pora Aduma, Rashi brings down, well known, is a kapora for the Chet Ho'egel. Yeah, Rashi brings the moshel of the child, yeah, the child of the servant. There's a maid servant in the palace, and the child made a mess, and Tova Imo Utekaneach Tzoyas Beno, that the mother should come. Yeah, the mother should come and clear up the mess. So therefore, the Egel was the Avodah Zorah. The Egel was the cause of the Avodah Zorah. And therefore, Tekaneach Tzoyas Beno, she should come and clear up. Yeah, so therefore, Pora Adumo is, that. Therefore, they want to say as follows, yeah, that the Zechoy Al Tishkach of, we line the Pasha of Pora Adumo, which is the Tikkun for Chet Ho'egel. Again, we're doing that beremes. We're protecting the covenant of Klal Yisrael. We're not mentioning the covenant of Klal Yisrael specifically. We're not mentioning the criticism of Klal Yisrael specifically. So therefore, this week, in theory, Parshas Poro is the Zechor Al Tishkach of the Chet Ho'egel. But we do it beremes by mentioning the Tikkun, which is the Poro Adumo. Yeah, so therefore, Vibalt, it's Chayal Tishkach, is doing the is what's called. Therefore, it's similar to Parsha Zochar, right, where it says Zochar and Lois Ishkoch and the Kriya's Doraisa. Therefore, Huadin, the Kriya of Pora Adumo, which is indirectly reminding us of the Chet Ho'egel, is Chayal Tishkach, Eitz Asher Exavta, Shem Lekech Bamidbo. Chayal Tishkach gives us the Chiyuv to line Betzibur. So that's as much as I prepared for you. For you on Parshas Poro at the moment, as I said, therefore, because it's a deraisa, or it's a sophic deraisa, or there are some poskim who hold it a deraisa, therefore a bar mitzvah boy, normally speaking, will not line it. So I just mentioned to you, seeing as we're still waiting for the speaker, I just mentioned it around to the people, following on from what we learned last week about Parshas Zohar. I had a kasha. A simple question, and I think there's a simple answer. When Agog was spared, and Agog survived overnight, and the next morning, Shmuel killed Agog. Yeah, it says that he took a dagger and he killed him, and he said, "Kasher shiklo anoshim harbecho." Then, the same way that you killed people in your life, and you made the mothers into grieving mothers who had suffered the loss of their sons. So Cain, I can't remember. Tishkal ish.
Noshim.
Imecho. Noshim imecho? Minoshim.
Imecho.
In any way, the same thing that you caused to other mothers to suffer the loss of their children, so I'm going to cause that loss to you. And the question is, but Shaul did kill all the women. He killed all the women. He killed all the men. But he left one man alive, and he left the shoveset. He left the animals alive as korbonos. So the question is, in that case, Agog's mother's no longer alive. If Agog's mother's no longer alive, then when he kills Agog, his mother's not going to suffer the loss of her son Agog, because what's called, I killed all the women. Yeah, before, and Shaul had already killed all the women.
Changed into
animals. Well, even if it changed into animals.
So his mother could have changed into animals.
His mother changed into animals, so why didn't they all change into animals? I know that medrash, yeah? Yeah, and it says that Agog also, he changed into a shor, she changed into a seh. Why did he have to change at all? He was left alive. Okay, there are kashas on that, but that medrash doesn't really answer the question. I think the question is very simple answer, and that is, it could be that the mother of Agog was not an Amalekis. Right? The yichus of Agog to be Amalek goes after his father. Yeah? And it could be that his father had a relationship with a non-Amalekis, and therefore Shaul was not mechuyev to kill his mother. Therefore it could be that his mother, who was not an Amalekis, was still alive, and therefore she would suffer when she hears that Agog dies. A possible answer to a possible kasha.
Started very well, Sunday, Yom Beis Nador, 1st of March, Rabbi Simchi Yochubovich Shlita of Clubhouse Purim Part 3. This is for responsible for Rabbi Yisrael from Russia. Because the outside is on your design, Ador. Ben Rav Shimon Kol Tzvi Itzkovitz Zichrono Livracha.
She was pregnant with Haman's forefather. She's not chayav mitzvah. She doesn't have to kill her if she's pregnant with. Agog gets married again, in prison, a one-nighter.
Yes.
Wouldn't be, she becomes pregnant. What would the halacha be concerning a not yet born Amalek?
I don't know. That's if you can find her.
Turn to a bird, flew away.
Yeah.
Midrashim. Careful with Midrashim. So last time we were here, and I said in part 3 I'd continue the discussion, I'd go deeper into the discussion. I mentioned we would go further understanding the Nes of Purim. We would go further understanding Amalek himself, his role. And indeed, there's layers that I want to go through. So last time we mentioned that Avraham Avinu, when it came to his ability to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was in a much higher level. He didn't require the nevuah in which he saw a vision like Yaakov with the ladder, Moshe bring with the burning bush. And that was the Or HaChaim. But I want to today bring down a few points and I'll bring it together. You know, we speak about an enemy like Amalek, and we need to remind ourselves what Chazal teach us there was Ahasuerus, who hated Am Yisrael more than Haman. Yesterday I was on the street, and anybody who knows what's been going on Kal Chasidim's area, I kind of feel sorry for Kal Chasidim, they turned to a vigil area over there, you know. One guy comes up to me, says to me, "We're in this together, this place is magical." I thought, that poor shul, you know, if you only met the Rav, but, you know, it's great. I actually felt sorry, I didn't make like a charity page stuck right there next to the thing for the shul. Can you imagine the money they'd be raking in right now? But, you know, there they are, we're in this together, you know. And I answered quite innocently, because you should know, they're very educated people, very. I always find myself, the Iranian people, unbelievably educated. And I said, "Do you know what's coming up?" "Of course you do, Purim." I said to Mr. Rao, either I was lucky, I met a PhD student of biblical knowledge, but I was very lucky. I said, "Can you tell me what's happening in Purim? You know, you got saved from Iran." And I went away thinking to myself, ancient Iran, ancient Persia, ancient kings, that is literally the message they get. But we banged by Haman. He was an Amalek, he had nothing to do with it. And again, we need to bring back home. I mean, my 11-year-old daughter says to me last night, because it was everywhere, I was talking, a friend of hers spoke to her, and she says to me, "Daddy, someone by mistake said Haman in Iran, and everything went boom." And I said to her, "Very possible, you know, very possible, very sweet, cute. I said to her, "But you know, maybe from your Yodalef, we're starting to take it to the Lali if you bring the Gemara, but what's this thing? Everyone focuses on Persia. Amalek, scream and shout. We don't bang by Achashverosh, despite the fact that Rashi says, when he quotes a Gemara, word for who, Rishon Mitchadosei Vatzeifei, he is the Rosh from beginning to the end for some reason. Haman, and the answer is because Haman is a milchama against the Rebbeinu Shlom. This whole thing is a milchama. Rashi goes into it, the Ramban says, we don't know who Amalek is, but we have a milchama, Amalek, which is an internal war happening every day. So that means the story of Purim has become an internal war, the Ramban says. And so when people get ready, they war, it's much deeper than that. We're going to go through the layers, and I have a lot to bring out. Amalek is the enemy of depth. The Torah commands, and the Rabban explains, Amalek represents an eternal war. He left with us, within us, the Yetzer Hara that tells us the Sofik. Chazal reveal Amalek is 240 and the Sofik is 240. Both Amalek and Sofik share those numbers. Amalek, he sows in the doubt. He makes you question yourself a few good times. Rashi explains, he cooled you off after Kriyas Yamsuf, the world is trembling. Amalek comes. He introduces a Sofik. You know, man, maybe it's not such a big deal. It's not such a... You're making it sound like it's so terrible. It's not such a big deal. Calm down. You know, you saw Kriyas Yamsuf, you saw an ace. Okay, so you saw an ace. It doesn't have anything special. It's not denial that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is. Again, it's not being an atheist. Just maybe, Efsha. Maybe is enough to weaken the entire clarity of a nation. The Zohar describes the Amalek as the clipper that it attacks a munah from where it is concealed. The Arizal explains that Amalek attacks in places of hidden light, and a dear friend of Josh Frankel will have all the marmokomis from me. Amalek does not fight revelation, he fights with things of suffering, where everything seems to be just, this is where Amalek comes in. You know, today, a lot of the kids I work with, I mean, I came in to tutor a young man, I was doing with him Sechus Malkus. He said, I made you a special treat for Purim. He prepares me a beautiful 3-page document, all AI, ChatGPT, the whole layers of structures of how Malkus works, what the conditions are, beautiful imagery. So I smiled, sweet, did it safely with his parents, whatever. That wasn't the kudder. I asked him, do you ever ask it questions when you're next to your father? Yes, I tend to. AI has become a very dominant force, and this isn't a drosh to have. But we used to have something that was imbued into us called Amalek intelligence, where you shouldn't take the entire world around you on and just appreciate it. You should depreciate it, take it away. You see these wonderful miracles? It's okay. Ask me, I think nothing special. I work with data. That's how I can answer you. That's the Amalek intelligence. Anything beyond what I know can't exist. It just doesn't exist. I am Amalek. The world is my derech. My zayde is of kveichi v'itzim yodi. This is it. This is the Amalek approach. It's his survival, and it says it's a strategy. It's his salvation. It says it's coincidence. It's a shkocha, and I'll call it timing. It will take anything you throw at it. That is the Amalek shitter. This is where the Rishonim go against. The Haftorah is where Sofik survives. This is exactly the Haftorah you've got. We just said in Parsha Zohar. Sholem Melech says, total destruction. But Sholem hesitates. He says, I feared what the people might say. This is why we'll see Shmuel Novi counteracts with Shaul HaMelech, and he says to him, no, he says, the king that will come and take over, we know David Melech was sick, elderly, okay? He was already unwell, and he still managed to go and anoint, make sure that Shlomo HaMelech would be the next king. When he took action, we had to take action. He was a complete Eved Hashem. Okay, we're talking about Ayin HaHara, see, we came to counting how he counted the whole Arachaim, Agav, and the Parshah. This week about David HaMelech and counting on his level, it's really to understand what David HaMelech is beyond. Agav, the Gemara Moed Katan says that when it came to David HaMelech, he criticized Shaul HaMelech, the Ibishter, because he chased him Shaul. And Ibishter said, how many Shauls I would change, exchange just for you. So even Shaul HaMelech, we don't really understand what Shaul HaMelech is. But David HaMelech, absolutely, we have no idea what on that level. But still, David HaMelech, on the level that Shaul HaMelech was, the criticism is, he stood up and he took action that was necessary. Shaul HaMelech, the pressure he had, David HaMelech didn't bend to the pressure. And this is an Amalek pressure. Because I'll say, I fear the people, the Medrash Esther Rabbah brings down the teachers, during a single night, Agog remained alive, he fathered a child. Now, whether you kill or you don't, the mother, that's not going to that debate. But the Kudah is, you've got yourself this very, very powerful attitude of, I have a Sophic. You have a Sophic. You leave yourself open for Amalek to take over and survive. And this is what the Medrash says, this Sophic, which is Amalek. Mordechai was the Tikkun, as we discussed, of Shomer. Now the Yalkut Shemoini, he brings down that this is all about hesitation. So Mordechai never hesitates, he moves. Everyone bows to Haman, he stands, there's no cheshbon, there's no fear. And we discussed last time that Haman Faket got filled with fear when it came to Mordechai Tzadik. It was an irrational fear you couldn't explain. Countless times the Medrash says he wanted to kill him there and then, countless times the fear pushed him back. Mordechai was by Teva against the entire Derech of Haman and Amalek, and never he had what it took to push him back. He didn't have any suffix in himself, any doubt. Today's issue with a lot of our children is that we're having a generation which is growing up filled with doubt. I'm not going to kid you here. There was a boy who told me he read the entire story of Moshe Feinstein twice. He read two different biographies. So I was very impressed. I was like, wow, you know, he reads stories. He says, no. If I would have read it once, I would have had questions. I had to walk on my gates and sit down and said these Gedolim existed. When I was a kid, it wasn't like that. We were told it's a sefer, it's a book, you know, wow, amazing. It was kolakavod to this young man. He recognized inside of himself doubt. And then a lot of the young men say to me, I can't achieve, I won't be able to achieve. I look at how big the road ahead of me, and this is the Nekud of Purim. There's a mitzvah going into it when it comes versus Har Sinai, versus Shavuos. Purim, you accept the Torah by Ahava. And we'll get into it, but I'll still bring it out now. That a child is told, a yid is told, an adult in the 60s, 70s is told, you are taking on the Torah ba'ahava, with love, with a geshmak. It's not about how much of Shas you're going to finish. It's about connecting to the Ribbono Shel. It doesn't matter. Get rid of your sveikas. You're a neshama. You have the Torah. You were chosen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's taken nature and He is using it for you. Why anisim not enough? In Nace isn't enough. Amisol saw Priyas Yamsuf, wasn't enough. They saw Mon coming from Shemaim, wasn't enough. How many Dayenus do you say? You saw Anani HaKovid, not enough. And yet, they fail a good couple of tests in the midpoint. Now, you could bring me the Rav, that's not the Kudah. Why? Why? The answer is because if you see the same thing, a nace which is against nature itself, and Rambam talks about it, then you have a different problem, because Amuna depends on fireworks. Now, if Amuna depends on fireworks, and the next day, I'm going to have to demand another firework. I need to keep going against the nature. Amalek waits for the quiet moment after there's a nace, and then he strikes you. Then he comes at you. He knows what he's doing. Oh, beautiful. I can't go into it now, but Shemini Esrei is something we do have a shiur by itself. And the Gemara Megillah talks about the build-up of Shemini Esrei. Again, it's always surprising when you find these Gemaras come up, how it was designed, why it was designed the way it was. And very carefully, he brings out the idea of a munah bitochot in the Ribbono Shel Olam. In a place where there's no Beis HaMikdash, the Mefarshim say that regardless of saying those words and emphasizing those words with the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is again why the Gemara brings down Avraham Avinu, where Avraham Avinu is able to actually speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on such a powerful level and he's able to connect. What does it mean to connect the Kaddish Baruch Hu? When I'm saying these words, I'm not alone in the room. When I'm saying these words, I'm connecting. I have Beis HaMikdash, I did an Avera, it's expensive, I bring an animal, I take a box, I'm fine. If a nace depends, and if a yeshia depends on me taking a box of Hashem, or but a hidden nace, and I say in a hidden nace, Megillas Esther, Hashem's name, we know this by now, a child knows this. Hashem's name does not appear. Everything is explainable. A sleepless king, a book is opened, political maneuvering, timing. Sounds very Amalekish, doesn't it? It's genius. You're using the actual attitude of an Amaleki over here. You think about it. I got a sleepless king, politically everything happens. This is exactly why I just told you the build-up, how an Amalek would function. But that's the genius. Amalek intelligence says coincidence. The Gemara in Shabbos teaches how Sinai was overwhelming, this revelation of Amisol. And yet, when it comes to the Purim, they accept the Torah by Ahava lovingly. Hasinai was a whole spectacle. Without spectacle, without feeling forced, there's a deep nace, not seeing Hashem. If I can't see the Ribbono Shel Olam by changing the very nature of itself, but I'm loving him in the way he's hiding, I'm playing hide and seek, so to speak, with my father. Because I know that if I have to go back, those hands that I can see are holding me, that when I walk past a tree, or if I can see the goodness of a fruit, or the great vigor of the millers itself would emphasize again, then I'm seeing the revision. Amalek is defeated. What's Amalek going to say to me? I do see nature, Amalek. I do see the world. I do see politics. Who runs it? How did it get there? At some point, Amalek is losing. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know from the Yerushalmi, Yepeah, and the Zevik Rabba, everything that would come, Mordechai and Esther, any Talmud Chacham, any leader, it says that he was shown. He requested not to reveal, but he was shown. And the Gemara Menachos, the Chuf Tes, Amud Beis, teaches Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva. He goes into that detail. Moshe saw every future Torah leader. He saw Purim, but Moshe lived with open. Everything was revealed. Purim is deeper. So the Gemara says that Talmud Chacham is greater than Nevuah. That Talmud Chacham can see and guide you through the Torah is the level above where Navi is. This idea, I can see the Rebbeinu, is so in contrast to the world of the secular world. There was a Jew in the secular world. You know, his name was Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein said, repeating the same action and expecting different results is madness. If you expect to see the same thing, it's madness. In physics, perhaps he was right. But the Torah, that doesn't work. It's infinite. We're always excavating in the Torah. We repeat mitzvahs every single year. But each year, we dig deeper. The Torah is structured in infinite layers. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu was shown. There are never-ending layers. The Torah, the Chazal would teach, the deeper they would go, it was structured. That's the God, that's what the Gemara is saying. The more you draw out of that world of Torah, the deeper it gets. It doesn't stop. Only gets deeper. Einstein describes mechanics. Torah describes beyond that, beyond the metaphysics. It's a world in which you think you've reached your limitation. We haven't even begun to explore where you can go. That's the goddess. Hannah Cohen is exactly the opposite of Albert Einstein. Lighting a menorah every single time, or with a zeal, with a passion, with a drive. The asking, how can you light the menorah? Even Rashi says you do the mitzvah at the same time. He didn't lose the drive, because I'm doing the asking as the Eibishter wants from me. And I am connected to Hashem, and I am doing it, and I'm doing it with a chika, the love and the knowledge intensifies. It doesn't go down. And this is, again, an opposite approach to an Amaleki approach. Chalil v'chas, nobody is saying for even an iota of a second that there wasn't godless, that there isn't something to be gleaned. At the end of the day, when I take a look at something which is a physical action, I'm limited by physical action. If I take a look and I ask myself, why am I doing the physical action? That there's more to the very thing I'm doing. I have realms, worlds to climb. And that's a Gavas of Torah study. Another reason, Chazal say, we understand the idea of Mordechai and the Chacham separating at the end, that he got so involved. This is something that Sipur Dan we mentioned last time as well. And we said we were on countless places. But we said from, well, come back to me, that when it came to the Chazal, their attitude wasn't against Mordechai the way we understand it. They understood he was sacrificing, serving the Kehillah versus the Torah. And they still argued if you were to go deeper in the Torah, you had still many more steps to climb than to serve. Who said it? You guys know probably Shai and Moshe better. Zani Gashmias is Mana Ruchnias, yeah? So again, when it comes to people, Gedolim, serving the Kehillah and making sure they had Yeshias, Rachamim, and Nisim, and Panosa, they gashmi, so they're Ruchnias, and 100% got a kavod. But still, Mordechai, when it came to learning Torah, to plummet the depth of Torah, and to keep its mitzvahs on that level, there were levels to go. Versus serving a Kehillah with as many mitzvahs you can do, but you're doing a mitzvah. So the question is how you grow. The Zohar Kodesh says, the greatest light is concealed in light. And the Arizal explains, Purim reveals Oyag. He says, hidden light embedded in reality. Purim is not lower than Har Sinai, it is a higher level. Yom Kippurim, as we like to say. It reveals Hashem inside of concealment. And by that saying, you're taking the flame and putting it onto a blue heat. It's going much, much higher, much deeper. So when you talk about Purim itself, the levels you can go on Purim are much deeper. You're going deeper with the Ribbono Shleilam in a way that nothing else would have given to you. That is the Yesod. Because within reality, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that level is the highest, which is why Brother Rechayim. And then the internal war of Amalek is not only external, it's internal. And this is the Yesod that we need to fight the Sophic. The issue is drinking. I always get this every year. My Talmidim say to me, why do we drink? And there are the answers we can go into, who the Zohar here brings down. By the eagle, unfortunately, Am Yisrael fell. The eagle caused Am Yisrael to fall. Why? What was the problem? Because our teachers, so they reached such a high level, such a madriga, it was impossible for us to be able to fully appreciate that the Satan managed to make a dead body of Moshe Rabbeinu hover in front of them, and therefore they were fooled. Therefore, when it comes to high levels of Kedusha, the rules, the same thing with embody anything, we have to equalize, otherwise it's an unfair challenge for the human being. So Hashem allowed the Satan to have the power to make a dead body of Moshe Rabbeinu float in front. In order to conceal that and not make the same challenge, on Purim itself, we become shikah. We're busy with mitzvahs. And Chazal tell us, it's day that tefillah in every mitzvah we do brings us closer. Don't be fooled by what we see as a gashmius to it. Obviously, we won't be fooled. But understand the levels of what you can chap now are there. Why is it done in such a case? Because if only people understood that in the very nature that we live, we can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, it's beyond us. I am keeping track of time despite the start time. Don't worry. The miracle of Purim, that you play hide and seek with the Bashefa, is that doubt fell apart on that level. We emerged from Shusha not alive, but deeper. We took a deleted Amaleki intelligence. Our entire attitude to it was, you don't have a hold over me, Amalek, because the very argument you give, I've lived through. You can't tell me what to know. I had this amazing thing. I had a rabbi called Rabbi Weiss. I was growing up in Pardes house, and I loved tattoos. Now, it sounds very weird, Jewish boy likes tattoos, right? I'm Orthodox American. I love art, anything artistic. So I saw a tattoo, these builders used to come in. Back in the day, Pardes, when I was a kid, you'd take a big piece of wood, you fixed the walls, it wasn't sophisticated. This guy comes in, non-Jewish, nice guy, to fix some wall or something. I don't know if he broke a window with a ball, I can't remember. But he came in, and he comes with this beautiful dragon tattoo. I was very excited. So I remember, I was like, wow, it's amazing. You know, can we look at it? And he's showing all the boys. I remember you in Pardes, where your wife used to work. You showed us, took us to see the building. Yeah, we still work. So you came in, she brought in her husband. You know, it was very exciting to see teachers how you work, what you do. Probably, it's interesting. You know, she used that fast. I remember all these things as a kid. Doesn't go away. Great teachers stay with you for life. And I remember that this Rebbe Weiss comes over. And me and my friends were looking at this tattoo. Beautiful art, yeah? Before you googled dragon tattoo, you had dragon tattoo. And suddenly my friends all disappear, and I'm still focusing on the dragon. And I get a tap on my shoulder, and I see a revise, and I was quite scared. You know, it wasn't right, what are you doing? He didn't say anything. He just asked, what are you doing? So I said, I'm looking at this really cool dragon tattoo. And the guy says, so what is it? So the builder says, it means generosity. It means, let's explain the whole concept between how he got this back in the East. So he says, Rabbi, I bet you haven't never seen anything as cool as this. He says, I have a tattoo too. He lifts his sleeve. And he shows him his wonderful little numbers that he got back in the Holocaust. You should have seen the builder. I never appreciated it at the time. He was like, right, yeah. He says, you want to know what mine means? It means God will never leave me. God has never abandoned me. It means Ani Ma'amin. It means, and he points to me, that the future continues. He says, this is me. God is never, ever going to leave me. Now, when you're very young, I then told to go back to class, but when you're very young, it doesn't start, but as you get older and it matures, you begin to realize, Hashem has never left me. He took something which was such a destructive moment, and every day we had to go along upon his film. Every day he had to look at his arm, he would remember for the rest of his life, but you never left me, but I never got killed, but you never destroyed me. The godless of seeing that within what Hashem put him through and being able to survive and hold it so high up is a level we can't even begin. Or if we were to take that nature and to talk to see the true nice of Purim. Purim Sameach.
Thank you. Yeah.